Continue a message I started last Sunday, and a message that'll go on for several Sundays. I know we have missions conference coming up, and I really tried to come up with some missions messages for this month. I really wanted to do that leading up to missions revival, and man, I couldn't get away from this thought of spiritual warfare. We're getting in the last days here, and the devil is fighting at an all-time speed. And we're seeing things happen that nobody ever thought we'd see before. And we're seeing them unfold right before our eyes. And I know that I've heard older preachers preach that, you know, maybe passed on back in the 60s and 70s and 80s. And I heard them preaching messages about how wicked their day was. I said, man, I can't imagine how they would feel if they saw today. Did you realize that some of the wickedness that they preached against is common in a lot of churches today? It's just average. It's common. It's what people are used to. And it's stuff they used to preach against and talk about how wicked the church was. And I heard Lester Roloff preaching the other day about the Lord Jesus Christ could come back any moment. It says in the last days, perilous times shall come. And man, we're there! And he was preaching that back in the, 70s. And man, he believed it. And we're seeing things wax worse and worse. We're seeing things, and you know, they saw peace treaties like we're seeing now back that day. He remembers the president signing peace treaties and all those kind of things, but things are happening at a rapid rate. And you say, what are you getting at? I mean, the Lord's coming back soon. Get your house in order. The Lord's coming back. And so the Lord wants to help us this morning. And so 2 Corinthians chapter number 11, and we'll read a verse, and then I want you to stay here for just a second, and we'll go to another verse in Corinthians and give you the message this morning. Again, this is a series of messages, and so if you want to hear the rest of the story, you need to keep coming. 2 Corinthians chapter number 11 and verse number 3, if you're there, say amen. The Bible says, but I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. I mentioned this last week, and I'm not going to re-preach the message, and it was not recorded, unfortunately, so you can't go back and listen to it. But I preached about Satan's story last week. And as we think about a spiritual warfare, we need to understand who the enemy is. And so I began to look at his story, but in our verse here, the fear was, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds, talking about the church, he's specifically writing to the church of Corinth, but he's writing to us as a church, should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. And the devil this morning, if you're not saved, the devil wants your soul. He wants it more than anything. He does not want you to become a child of God. He doesn't want you to be saved. He doesn't want you to believe that salvation is a free gift and that God gives you the faith to be saved. He doesn't want you to believe those things that were taught in the Bible. But if you are saved, He cannot have your soul. Man, I love that song, I'm Not Going to Hell. Amen. I enjoy it. I enjoy listening to that song. It's a wonderful reminder that no matter what happens, I'm saved and I'm not going to hell. The devil cannot have my soul. And I'm thankful for that. But if you're saved, the devil cannot have your soul. And so the next thing he wants is your mind. That's the next thing that he wants. And I'm afraid right here, Brother Bowen, is where he's been successful. There's a lot of God's children that are saved, and he can't have their soul, but he wants their mind. Because if he can get their mind, then he can get to their body. And if he can get to their body, then he can get to their testimony. And if he can get to their mind and get to their body, then he can get them out of church. And then any future generations to come in a marriage and a family, those people, he might get their soul. Because he got somebody's mind. And he got their body. And he got them to do things they know they shouldn't be doing. And he got them to listen to things they know they shouldn't be listening to. And in the course of time, he started with somebody that is saved, and now there's generations that do not know God The devil has a plan. And don't think for one minute because you're saved that you're not in his plan. Because he knows that there's generations to come. There's young couples in here, and Corey and Amy just recently got married, and they got a house, and man, Lord willing, about to start a family, and the devil wants that family. Now he knows he can't get them because they're saved. I don't mean to scare you this morning, amen? But the devil does. And so Paul was afraid here and feared that Satan would be able to, through his subtlety, be able to blind them and be able to corrupt their minds from the simplicity that is in Christ. And so we began to look at Satan's story last week, and I'm not going to go over it for sake of time. But the short of it is, Satan was a created being. He was a powerful being. He was a bold being. And he rebelled against God. He sinned against God. He was cast out. And because of pride, he was lifted up. And ever since then, he's been trying to destroy the Lord Jesus Christ and anything to do with him. He is the Antichrist, as we find out as we study throughout the Bible. He's very subtle in the way that he does it. And he tried to destroy the Lord Jesus Christ by hanging him and killing him on the cross of Calvary. Now, Satan did not kill Christ. I'm thankful for that this morning. Amen. Nobody killed our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible said that after he suffered, after he was tortured there on the cross, that he gave up the ghost. He allowed himself. He gave it up. They didn't kill him. But the Bible tells us that if Satan would have known what he did that day, he never would have done it. He never would have deceived people. He never would have messed with Pilate's mind. He never would have messed with those Jewish people. He never would, would have never done that if he would have known what would have happened. The Bible tells us that in 1 Corinthians chapter number 2. But the Bible goes on to tell us that he is an enemy and he is an adversary and he's walking about seeking whom he may devour. He's an accuser of the brethren. And the devil is working at full pace, full speed. I was telling Brother Corey, Sister Amy this morning in Sunday school that we're getting close to the end of this thing. I really believe it. I mean, I really do. And the devil is going to, he's a liar, and he's going to deceive many people, many nations. The Antichrist will. And when I was younger, as a young teenager, and just really began to fall in love with the Bible and start studying it, I mean, I did as a young age. I know I wasn't a perfect teenager, but man, I really did love the Bible. Even when I was in school, I would ask to take Bible Institute courses, and somebody would come by and pick me up and take me over there, or I'd go with my dad to Bible Institute, and I'd sit in on the classes. It intrigued me, and I fell in love with the Bible at a young age. And I'm thankful for that, amen. My dad's one of those reasons. He loved the Bible. And I'm thankful for that. So I began, and as a young man, as I began to learn things about the Antichrist and about the tribulation and the millennium, and if you don't know what all these things are, just stick around. You'll eventually learn them. I mean, we'll go through some stuff and teach it. But as I began to learn about those things, I wondered, how in the world can there be so many churches and so many Christians and people just be blindly deceived? Because the Antichrist, whenever the rapture of the church takes place, he will have an answer for what happened. A man will emerge and he will have an explanation for what took place. The Bible tells us. He'll be able to explain what happened. And scores upon scores and upon scores of people are just going to say, okay. Amen. And I said, when I was younger, I'm getting somewhere, just stay with me for a second. When I was younger, I don't know how that would happen, but now, several years later, you know, 20 years later, I can see how that'll happen. You say, how? Because the people that love the Bible and that want to know the Bible are far and few between. Because we have a generation of people that want to go to church to ease their conscience, but they don't want to know anything about God or godly living, and they don't want to know anything about the Word of God. And so when somebody comes along and says, do this, they're just going to say, yes, sir. They don't know the Bible. So I can see how that'll happen. And if another 20 years goes by, and I pray the Lord comes back before then, but if another 20 years go by, there might not be anybody or hardly anybody left that is still teaching their children, that is still trying to tell their children that there's a Lord that died on the cross for their sins, There'll be hardly anybody left that's going to try to raise their children in church and teach them to live right for God and teach them to serve God and that God will bless. It's becoming fewer and fewer and fewer and fewer. You say, what are you getting at? I'm talking about Satan's master plan. If he can't have your soul, he wants your mind. And if he can get your mind, he'll get your body. If he can get your body, he can get your testimony. And if he can get you upset at the church, and he can get you out of church, the next thing you know, he can get your kids. And now there's people that have been out of church for years and years, and they'll come and say, Brother Andrew, will you please pray for my son? Will you pray for my daughter? They're not saved. If they were to die today, they're going to hell. And they look back on their life and say, what happened? Somewhere down the line, the devil got to their mind. Somewhere down the line, somebody offended them or something happened, and the devil used that in their mind to get them out of church. And now he has a family and he has a soul. That mom and that dad, they are saved as saved can be. They're going to heaven. But now their children, and now when they go to their children, just as Lot went to his children back there in Genesis, and he went to his children and said, God's going to destroy this place. He went to his son-in-laws. He went to his daughters and he told them God's going to destroy this place. And his sons laughed. His sons-in-laws laughed at him and they thought that he was making fun and joking because he had lost his testimony, because he had lost his tenacity for Christ. He had lost his teaching. He lost all those things. And now him and his daughters who knew no men and his wife left the city. And before they even get out of town, he loses his wife. And now there's a generation. There's a son-in-law and there's daughters and their children are left in Lot to be burned up and destroyed. I believe we're going to get out of here, church. I believe we're going to be raptured out before the tribulation. I believe it. I better know you're saved. I believe when I said you better get your house in order, amen. But we know people that are lost. And if the devil can ruin your testimony, he'll try to do it. And I want to look at Satan's... we're getting into spiritual warfare, and it's going to take several weeks. Maybe the Lord will come back real quick. Amen? And we can learn it from Him. But I want you to understand, church, I wish I could cover it all this morning because it's something we need to know. When I first began to study this, I said, I'm going to talk about the armor of God. And everybody's heard the armor of God from when they were in children's church. And I'm eventually going to get to that, but I don't need to start with that. Because if you don't know why you're putting on the armor of God every day, if you don't understand why you need to do that and the severity of doing it every day, you won't take it serious. I'm not being mean this morning. I'm trying to be very serious-minded about this thing. The devil is as a roaring lion in 1 Peter 5:8, walking about seeking whom he may devour, and he's after your mind. Satan, his method from day one has never changed. Satan's strategy, we looked at Satan's story last week, and I want to look at Satan's strategy this morning for a few minutes, and I know I'm going to run out of time before I get anywhere, and I'll try to give you something this morning. But his method has been so successful since the very beginning, it's never changed. When Paul warns the church at Corinth that the devil might get them, he didn't give an illustration, Corey, of something that happened a week ago. He didn't give an illustration of something that happened a couple years ago. He gave an illustration of what happened in the Garden of Eden from day one. When he said, Satan's after your mind, he didn't go back to a few other examples, and there's a lot of them. He went back to the very first one. And said, I'm afraid he's going to get your mind just like he did Eve. Eve, the first one. You know what that tells me? His plan never changed. Satan's plan has never changed. He wants your soul. He can't have your soul. So after that, he wants your mind. And his plan, he's never even deviated from that plan. And he's got a full toolbox of things he can use to get to your mind. He'll use relationships, he'll use music, he'll use deceit, he'll use lies, he'll use all kind of, whatever it takes, he'll use. One of the main signs of His influence is the corruption from simplicity. That's what it says here in our verse. That's one of His main signs. Is, hey, it can't be that easy. If someone in here this morning is lost, you've never accepted Christ as your Savior, the number one thing the devil wants to do is tell you it can't be that easy. Man, salvation is a free gift. It is easy. I'm thankful that He made it easy because I couldn't do it if He didn't. Amen? Am I the only one this morning? When you begin to think that simple faith in the cross of Calvary, just believing that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins, that there's more to it, the devil is working on you. Because that's all it takes. Amen? That's the answer. But the devil's been trying to blind the minds. I want to begin to look at this story. Hold your place. Well, here, let me read one of the verses real quick. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Go back just a few verses. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Y'all still with me this morning? I know this is a sobering message, and it's weighed heavy on me. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Look at me in verse number 11. He gave them a warning later on in chapter 11, but now look at chapter 2, verse 11. He said, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. Andrew, why are you preaching along this subject this morning and the next few weeks? Because I don't want Satan to get advantage of you. I don't want Satan to get advantage of me. I don't want Satan to get advantage of our marriage. I don't want Satan to get the advantage over my children. And that's exactly what he wants. And he doesn't need much room to get that advantage. There's folks in here this morning that could stand up this morning behind this pulpit and they could give you illustrations of maybe how Satan has gotten advantage somewhere down the line and the destruction and weight that he left behind. We think that the damage from the hurricane that came through is bad and the hurricanes to come. But I'm telling you, the destruction Satan does is way worse than that. It ends up in souls eternally lost in hell. It ends up in testimonies to be lost. Lest Satan should get... We don't want him to get the advantage. Go with me in Genesis chapter 3. And again, there's not time to stop on this thing or to go through it all this morning. But I want to look at this. Genesis chapter 3. We looked at Satan's story, and now I'm looking at his strategy. Satan's strategy, and I will be on this for a couple weeks. But I'm trying to help you, church. We're not ignorant of his devices. That's plural. That's more than one. He has a whole toolbox. I heard a preacher preach one time on Satan's toolbox. He's got a whole bunch of weapons he can use against us. And almost every one of them include lying and deceit. He's the father of lies. But through this story, I want you to understand this morning, Satan wants to turn the children of this church against their parents. Satan wants to turn the children of this church against their pastor. The devil would love nothing more than to turn the marriages in this church against the pastor. He would love nothing more than to turn the individuals against the church. He wants the parents to get their children. He wants chaos. You know what the devil wants this morning? He wants what is going on in the streets of America. That's what he wants. He wants a godless society, a Christless society, and he wants chaos. Because in the midst of all that chaos, it's hard for a Christian to shine really bright. It's hard right now. Right now, I mean, we could go try knocking on doors, but we'd probably be cussed out at every door. I've been cussed out at doors before knocking. I'm not worried about that. But now they think that we're a bad testimony in the community because of coronavirus. If we go knock on a door, they say, you're not... where's your church? It's up there. Y'all must not love us because you're coming to our house and knocking on our door. I know some other churches, what they're doing, they're just holding signs up. And we might get us some signs and just go down here. That's a busy intersection down here. Just stand there and hold signs. Jesus saves. Jesus loves you. Jesus is the only way. Amen. Just something to try to tell the world about the Lord Jesus Christ. He's trying to close churches. He's trying to do all these things. And the devil is on the war path. And we need to know that this morning. And the devil's after your children. I mentioned an app last week called TikTok. And you know, there's a parent that came to me not long ago, sometime earlier this year, and that they were concerned about that thing. And they were burdened about it. They didn't even know this thing was on their child's device. And I don't care whether you like it or not. Your child has no business with a cell phone. Your child has no business with access to the internet. None. Zero. Unless you're sitting there right beside them and you're watching it with them. I read an article this past week where there's an app, and I hate to even mention the app with the children in here because they might have phones and they might go look it up because curiosity will kill the cat. And parents, if you want to know what it is, come and ask me after church. But there's an app that right now, it is designed for little kids. It's an app designed, it's geared to them. Parents put it on their kids' phones all the time. That in that app, it is telling that child to take pictures of themselves while they're in the bathtub. And it's telling them to take pictures of themselves and take pictures of their siblings while they're in the bathtub. I mean, I got the article. Parents, you want to know what it is, I'll tell you. And I would encourage you that, man, your kids do not need that. I mean, you're handing them a device for the devil to get in on. You say, well, it's just YouTube Kids. Yeah. About a year ago, I preached about YouTube Kids because there was an app that was created or a video in YouTube Kids where the first 20 minutes of it was this little Peppy Pig thing, and it was cute and innocent, and right in the middle of it, right in the middle of that show, it was telling a child how they could kill their parents. So how did that slip through the devil? YouTube Kids. And there's parents that have that and give it to their kids and let them do whatever they want to do. I'm just trying to warn you this morning, church. Well, you don't want us having no fun. No, I don't want the devil getting an advantage. And his plan has never changed. And now these apps in the state of California, they're passing laws. It wasn't that long ago, church. When we started this church back in 2015, this whole thing of same-sex marriage was getting cranked up. And I would never thought that it would originate down in Mobile, Alabama, where this whole thing would sweep across the country, but it did. And that was a big deal, and man, that they became loud. Well now you don't hear much about that anymore. Now it's pedophilia. Now it's these apps and these things that these kids get. And they're being exposed to things. And then there's apps like TikTok I told you about where it encourages young people to take their clothes off and dance provocatively in front of a camera so the world can see it to see how many likes they can get. And it's got vulgar music on it. And there's all kind of wicked things going on. You said, hey, there might be some good things about it. I don't know about that particular app, but from what I know, there's nothing good about that one. Well, I'm doing good stuff on it. Well, you can't help but see all the wicked stuff when you go through it. And I'm sure there's a lot more than that. I don't know all about that. I'm glad not to know it. But as I read articles or hear things, I'm going to warn you, church, as a pastor, that's my job. So Satan don't get the advantage. And we see the devil doing these things and these apps and these things are taking place. And now, and you can look up this if you want, adults. Don't let your kids look it up. You realize you're going to stand before God and give an account for your family. And if you handed your kids one of those things unsupervised and let them do what they want, listen to what they want, you say, well, it's locked. They know more about it than you do. They'll figure it out. We don't have Wi-Fi. They'll get the neighbors. They'll figure something out. Their curiosity. I believe they're innocent. I believe that they don't mean no harm. But the devil's as a roaring lion, and he wants their mind. And he will work at no ends to get it. There's dolls. There's dolls that you can buy now for children that promote pedophilia. You don't believe me? Look it up. My daughter the other day brought me a little tiny, I forget, what are they called? Hatchimal. Ever heard of a Hatchimal? Amen. I know this is getting real serious here this morning, but she brought me a little Hatchimal. Okay? I mean, they get them for prizes at church. We gave it to them at church. And she comes to me, and she talked about how cute the, what'd she call it? The Pierce mark was. Emma came, she's never heard that before. I said, where'd you come up with that? She's like, I didn't know what to call it. She's like, I really like that Pierce mark. What was it? It was a tattoo that went down the side of the face of a Hatchimal. And man, I'm telling you, it broke my heart. It's something that little, and my daughter, you know, and the devil would say, man, wouldn't you like to have one of those? Wouldn't you like to have one of those pretty pierce marks on your face? Amen. He said, what'd you do? I told her it must be face paint and that it's wrong to put stuff like that on your face. That might be face paint. That's how I explained it to her. She don't understand. I don't need to introduce her to tattoos and all that wickedness. Y'all all right this morning? Yeah. We have to watch out for what's going on. Yeah. Not just our kids, but our marriage. If you have Facebook, if you have any kind of social media, man, I'm telling you, the devil's sly. And he's ruined a lot better marriages than ones I know about. From the very beginning, this has been his plan. Church, his plan has not changed for over 6,000 years. It hasn't changed one bit. Amen? I know you might not hear this at any other church, but I'm trying to help you, church. Genesis chapter number 3. I'm going to read the first 15 verses. And I'm not going to have time to get into the message this morning that I wanted to, so Lord willing, next week we'll continue. But I encourage you, if you get anything out of this morning, is to go home and, when I said clean up your house, I mean go home and look at what you got in your house. If they do have a device, look at it. See what's on it. And really, really pray about handing it back to them. I've heard people say to me, well, my son or my daughter, they have to have that phone for when they go to their friend's house so they can talk to me. I'm telling you right now, if I don't trust the parents of the house they're going to, they are not going. And if I need to know, I'll call the parents. Because they better know what's going on too. My child doesn't need that device. And if I don't trust them to be able to go there, they're not going. They don't need the phone. Amen. I've had people already tell me, well, your kids are little, you don't understand when they become teenagers. I've already had people tell me that. And that's fine. I have the authority of the Word of God to preach what I preach. And I know that I do not have teenagers yet, but I've been working in youth. I've been working with youth for a long time. I've been in the prison system working. I've been in Chalkville with Brother Justice preaching. And I've seen what the devil does. I don't have to have teenagers to know what the devil does. Amen. And you say, well, you don't know because you don't have them yet. I get it. I understand that. And I've got a battle on my hands too because the devil wants them. I understand that. And Lord willing, I'll do what's right. But right now, what I'm preaching is truth. Genesis chapter number 3, verse number 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field. We find that word subtle again. Can I tell you this morning, the devil's not going to come knocking on your front door and say, can I have your child? He's not going to do that. He's not going to walk up to the door and knock over there in Warrior, knock on your door and say, Nick, can I have Carson? He won't do that. He won't do that at all. And sometimes he has to work really hard because the parents are wise and they don't let their kids have devices and they don't let them just go off with strangers and they don't let them watch anything that comes on television. Amen. Sometimes they have enough wisdom to do that. And you say, well, sometimes my family, you know, sometimes that'll be the hardest people you'll have to put up with. I mean, you'll have to tell your family, no, I don't care if you get mad at me. No, I'm not jeopardizing my child. Well, we don't know what's wrong with it. Well, that's fine, but I do, and we're not doing it. And sometimes that's really hard to do, but they're worth it to me. It's worth it to me. He's very subtle. He's not going to come and knock on the door, but you know what he will do? He'll put lyrics in a song. He'll put lyrics in a song. He'll put a scene in a television show. And we open the door and let that in our house as parents. So we don't allow it in our house. Yeah, but what about that friend's house they keep running off to? We got to be careful. Amen. We got to pray for one another. Watch out, husbands and wives. You have to be faithful to one another, and you have to trust one another. And you know, if the other one starts getting away and getting friends and doing things, you don't know what the devil will do. Not just kids. I'm preaching about kids this morning because I'm concerned about the little thing my daughter came across. I mean, that's nothing. That's just a little toy. I'm just talking about little markings they're starting to put on these toys. And that's all the devil needs. It's something that small. You say, well, that's nothing, Brother Andrew. Is it? Is it nothing? It's something to me. Little toys where they're putting buttons in places for kids to touch those buttons, and those are inappropriate places. You don't believe me? Look it up. You can go to Walmart right now and buy it off the shelves. The devil's subtle. The devil's very, very subtle. And I hope we have some concerned parents that would care enough about that to look into it. Amen. We got some, like I said, some young couples that don't have kids yet. Man, I hope you get a good start on things. Hope you get a good start. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, you shall eat of every tree of the garden. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. I'm going to stop reading right there for sake of time this morning. We're going to read the rest of the story through verse 15, Lord willing, next week. But I'm trying to get you to see this morning that the devil's strategy has not changed in over 6,000 years. He knows he can't have your soul if you're saved. Now, if you're lost in here this morning, you need to get born again. I'm telling you, you're not promised tomorrow. I would not even step out foot outside of that door. I'd be afraid I'd step off the thing and break my neck and die and go to hell. Man, I know you can know that you're saved. The devil wants your soul if you're not saved. But I believe, now God's the only one that knows. You and God are the only ones that know that you're really saved. Now I would hope that your wife or husband would believe it. Amen. My wife believes that I'm saved. I think she does most of the time. But really, the only two people that know, Rachel, are me and him. We're the only ones that really know. And I know that I'm saved. I can tell you that, but God knows. Amen. He knows my heart. And you're the same way this morning. If you are saved, if you're not, He's going to try to do everything. He's going to try to convince you that you are, that you're good enough, and all those things we already talked about. But if you are saved, He wants your mind. And the very first thing He did with Eve, and what He's going to try to do with us, with our marriages, with our homes, with our children, and it's the same strategy. We know His plan. But for years, there's been Christians have been ignorant, and they've turned a blind eye to Satan's devices. Say, Brother Andrew, you sure do preach against a lot of things. I know the devil can use anything. Oh, he can use anything. And for 6,000 years, he's been after the mind. And right here from the very beginning, Eve said, this is what God said. And Eve said, that's not, and then Satan said, that's not really what he meant. He just doesn't want you to be like gods. And Eve started thinking. And for 6,000 years, we've been dealing with the same problem. Technology has advanced. Things have happened. And the devil's got a whole array of things to get your mind. to get my 5-year-old to ask about a tattoo. She didn't even know what to call it. On a Hatchimal. And I realize those little things. I mean, all the kids got them. They play with them. I get that. But the fact that she came up to me. I mean, we don't watch television, a lot of television in our house. If we do, it's like the Andy Griffith Show. Amen? Or something like that. We don't watch hardly. So I don't know where she got that from. I know she's seen people out in public. But to come up and say that, the devil's not happy that you're here this morning. The devil's not happy that they're in children's church. And you said, what do you got to do? You said, do I go take all their toys away? No, but you better be diligent to teach your children. Amen. Don't give them a device, that's for sure. Cell phone, television in their room. Don't do it. Amen. I had one as an older teenager, and I was driving and doing things, but I tell you what, man, there's things that happen on things that should have never happened on, and I know that. And if you're honest this morning, some of you say, yeah, I was maybe the same way. Amen. But, you know, I was an older teenager, had a job driving back and forth. I get that. And thank God I had enough of the fear God put in me to try to get right. And amen. But that same freedom is being given to 8- and 9-year-olds. That same freedom of a device is given to 5- and 6-year-olds. And they're dealing with things that they've never had to deal with before. And the public school system is having sex education for 5-year-olds and 6-year-olds, and they're getting curious. All a part of the it's always been a part of the devil's plan. If you don't believe any of this stuff, just, you know, get your head out of the sand and look up some stuff. Amen. I'm going to stop right here. I know it's a rough spot to stop on, but the devil's been doing the same thing. So why do you preach the way you do, Brother Andrew? I'm just trying to let you know. I know not every message is directed at, hey, the devil's doing this and the devil's doing that, but I'm telling you, he's after our homes. And the closer we get to the end of this thing, the more we have to guard our hearts, guard our marriage, guard our children, and the closer we ought to get to God. Amen? I hope you believe that this morning. I do. You say, well, you're fanatical. Well, whatever. I don't care. I want God to bless me, and I don't want the devil to have my children. And if the Lord tarries and I have grandchildren, I want God to do something in their lives. But the devil could get in my heart, or in my mind, and get my wife's mind, and it could ruin the whole thing. And the generations to come. Let's all stand. I'm not going to give an invitation this morning. It was pretty cut and dry. I mean, some of the things we preached on this morning, I don't believe really have to be prayed about. Because it's Bible. It's stuff we're supposed to do. Walk after the Spirit, not after the flesh. Don't be ignorant of the devil's devices. When I preach stuff like this at youth camps or preach it in other churches, maybe not this exact messages, but there's always teenagers that are sitting there wringing their hands, hoping their parents don't. My dad's here this morning. He'll tell you he wouldn't think twice about going in and flipping over a mattress or looking in a hole in the wall or anything. I came home one day from work, and I had a stack of CDs sitting on his nightstand. I said, ugh. Amen. At that time, I was upset that I got busted. But now that I'm where I'm at now, I say thank the Lord that I had a dad that didn't mind invading my privacy. There is no privacy when he's paying the bills. He's paying the water bill. He's paying the electric bill. Amen. He's buying the food. There's no my room stay out. Amen. Well, they won't like me. My dad's one of my best friends today. And I mean that. And I know people that were the opposite. And they didn't care what their kids do, and they have no relationship. Amen. And they look back and say, man, I wish my mom and dad would have told me no. At the time, were we best friends? No. Amen. No, we weren't. I respected him. I honored him. I tried to do that. But now I'm thankful for what God did. Amen. People need to stop trying to be best friends with their kids and try to protect them from the devil and raise them to please the Lord. And then later, God will give you that friendship, that relationship. I believe it.